तेन मीलित धियाम अवमृष्य नृणाम। स्तोकायुषां स्वनिगमो बत दूरपारः। आविर्हितस्त्वनुयुगं सहि सत्यवत्याम्। वेदद्रुमं विटपशो विभजिष्यति स्म। कालेन मीलित धियाम अवमृष्य नृणाम्। स्तोकायुषां स्वनिगमो बत दूरपारः। आविर्हितस्त्वनुयुगं सहि सत्यवत्याम्। वेदद्रुमं विटपशो विभजिष्यति स्म। कालेन मीलित धियाम अवमृष्य नृणाम्। स्तोकायुषां स्वनिगमो बत दूरपारः। आविर्हितस्त्वनुयुगं सहि सत्यवत्याम्। वेदद्रुमं विटपशो विभजिष्यति स्म। हितस्त्वनुयुगं सहि सत्यवत्याम्। वेदद्रुमान् विटपशो विभजिष्यति स्म। माताजी, वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। कालेन इन कोर्स ऑफ टाइम, मीलित ध्याम ऑफ द लेस इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन्स, अवमृष्य कंसिडरिंग द डिफिकल्टीज, नृणाम ऑफ ह्यूमैनिटी एट लार्ज, स्तोकायुषाम ऑफ द शॉर्ट लिविंग पर्सन्स, स्वनिगमः the Vedic literatures compiled by him, bata exactly, dura paraha greatly difficult, avirhitaha having appeared as, tu but, anuyugam in terms of the age, saha He, the Lord, He, certainly, Satyavatyam, in the womb of Satyavati, Vedadrumam, the desire tree of the Vedas, Vitapashaha, by division of the branches, Vibhajishyati, will divide, Sma, as it were. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the Lord Himself in His incarnation as the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, will consider His compilation of the Vedic literature to be very difficult for the less intelligent persons with a short life, and thus He will divide the tree of Vedic knowledge into different branches according to the circumstances of the particular age. Purport. Herein Brahma mentions the future compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam for the short-lived persons of the Kali Yuga. As explained in the first canto, the less intelligent persons of the age of Kali would be not only short-lived but also perplexed with so many problems of life due to the awkward situation of the godless human society. Advancement of material comforts of the body is activity in the mode of ignorance according to the laws of material nature. Real advancement of knowledge means progress of knowledge in self-realization. But in the age of Kali, the less intelligent men mistakenly consider the short lifetime of 100 years, now factually reduced to about 40 or 60 years, to be all in all. They are less intelligent because they have no information of the eternity of life. They identify with a temporary material body existing for 40 years and consider it the only basic principle of life. Such persons are described as equal to the asses and the bulls. But the Lord, as the compassionate Father of all living beings, imparts unto them the vast Vedic knowledge in short treatises like the Bhagavad Gita for the graduates and the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Puranas and the Mahabharata are also similarly made by Vyasadeva for the different types of men in the modes of material nature. But none of them are independent of the Vedic principles. ओम ज्ञानत मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So we are reading the second canto, 7th chapter. Brahmaji is explaining the different incarnations of the Lord to Narada Muni. And then he will tell Narada Muni to expand upon whatever he had spoken, to describe the incarnations of the Lord more elaborately. So in this series of verses, in today's shloka, Brahmaji is describing about the Srila Vedavyasa. Kalena milita diyam avamrushya nrinam. Nrinam, kalena milita diyam. Diyam means intelligence. Milita means sankuchita. Because of the shortened intelligence, or because of the intelligence getting deteriorated of the people in general, nam, kalena, in due course of time. Stoka Yusham. Stoka means Alpa. Stoka Yusham means Alpa Ayusham. So Vyasadev understood two things. In due course of time, people will have less lifespan, Alpa Ayusham, and Milita Diyam. The people will have less intelligence. Avam Rishya, understanding that, because of these two limitations, Vyasadeva could see that Svanigamo Bata Dura Paraha. The Vedas which were compiled by him, the people of Kali Yuga will find it difficult to read the Vedas. Dura Paraha, that means the Vedas themselves are like a big ocean. So it will be difficult for the people to cross over this ocean of the Vedic knowledge because of the two reasons, Milita Diyam and Stoka Yusham. Understanding that, Avir Hitastu, Avir Hita means appearing. So Vyasadeva appeared. Anu Yugam, he appears in every Chaturyuga. He appears in every Kalpa of Brahma. He appears in every Chaturyuga, especially in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. Avir Hitastu Anu Yugam Sahi Satyavatyam. In the womb of Satyavati. And then what will he do? Vedadruman Vitapasho Vedadruman. Vedadruman means the tree of the Vedas. So just like a tree has many different branches, so Vyasadeva will actually divide the Vedic tree into Vitapasho. Vitapasho means the different shakas and upashakas, branches and sub-branches. He will divide the Vedas into four parts, and each of those four parts he will divide it into further sub-branches. There is a verse in the Kurma Puran which it describes about how many branches are there in the different Vedas. So the Vedas has got four parts: Brahmana, Samhita, Aranyaka and Upanishad. Brahmana, it does not refer to the Varna Brahmana, Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya, not that Brahmana. Brahmana is a particular section of the Vedas. So Brahmana, Samhita, Aranyaka, Upanishad, totally in the four Vedas put together, there are 1,330 Brahmanas and same number of Samhitas, Aranyakas and Upanishads. So that many sections are there in the Vedas. So Vedas are Dura Paraha. The Vedic ocean is very difficult to cross. Once Bharadwaja Rishi, he was actually trying to study the different Vedas. He was trying to study the different words in the Vedas. And he kept on studying, and his lifetime was about to come to an end. Then he performed austerities and pleased Indra. And Indra appeared. And the Bharadwaja Rishi said that, can you please extend my lifetime by another 100 years? Because I have not completed the study of the Vedas. I have not completed the study of the different Shabdas. So Indra extended his lifetime by another 100 years. And then he went on studying, and then his lifetime was about to come to an end, but his study has not come to an end. Again he performed austerities and pleased Indra and requested for the same boon. Again Indra extended his lifetime. And this happened 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And then after some time, when once Indra appeared to Bharadwaja Rishi, he told Bharadwaja Rishi that, see, in front of you can see that big mountain. And Bharadwaja Rishi said, yes. Then Indra said that whatever you have studied is nothing but one handful of sand. But the Vedic knowledge is like this mountain. It is something unlimited. So therefore, bata dura paraha. So Veda Vyasa could understand that the people of Kali Yuga, because of these two limitations, it will be difficult for them to cross the Vedic knowledge. And therefore, vitapasho vibhajishyatisma. He will divide the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches. Vibhajishyati, he will divide. So we see that the two defects are mentioned. Less intelligence and less lifespan. Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about the nature of the less intelligent nature of the people of Kali Yuga. He talks in terms of how the people of Kali Yuga, they consider the body to be the self. Or they consider the short lifespan of 50 years, 60 years, 70 years to be the all in all. They don't believe in life after death. Considering the body to be the self, that is the greatest ignorance. Because of that, they are less intelligent. Another way by which the intelligence can be defined, Rupa Goswami says that Medhavi Sukshmadi Cheti Prochyate Buddhiman Vida. Intelligence has got two aspects. Medhavi, that means the capacity to absorb knowledge, and Sukshmadi, possessing a very fine intelligence. Very fine intelligence. The capacity to absorb knowledge means the capacity to remember. Capacity to remember. That is one aspect of intelligence. And Sukshmadi is possessing a fine intelligence to analyze the knowledge. These are the two aspects of intelligence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Keshava Kashmiri composed 100 shlokas in glorification of Mother Ganges, instantaneously, like a raging wind, Nimai Pandit demonstrated both these two aspects of intelligence. Just by hearing once, he remembered all the shlokas and he immediately quoted the 64th shloka he actually recited. So that was the ability of his memory actually. Just heard once and then immediately quoted. And not only he quoted, but he also instantaneously analyzed the good qualities and the faults in the shloka. So that is a sukshmadi. So if somebody has a less lifespan, but if he has a sharp intelligence, maybe even with the less lifespan, because of the sharp intelligence, he may understand the essence and then he can perfect his life. Or somebody has a dull intelligence, but if he has a long lifespan, then by repeated endeavor, even with the less intelligence, after repeated endeavor, one may actually understand the subject matter and then he may pursue the goal of life. But if somebody is having both the faults, less lifespan and also less intelligent, then it is a more serious concern. So Vyasadeva noted both these faults. And therefore, Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literatures and he wrote Vedanta Sutra, Puranas, Mahabharata. So the position of Vyasadeva in the Sanatana Dharma is very special. Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Shakte Pautramakalmasham Parasharatmakam Parasharatmajam Vande Shukatatam Taponidim. So Vyasadeva is the great grandson of Vasishta Rishi, Vasishta Naptaram. And he is the grandson of Shakti, who is the son of Vasishta. And he is the son of Parashara, Parashara Muni, and is the father of Shukadeva Goswami, and Tapo Nidhim is the mine of all the tapasyas, the mine of all the austerities. So sometimes a person may be born, a person's greatness can be judged in three different ways. Taking birth in some great family, that is one way of judging. And second, giving birth to a great person or leaving behind a legacy of some very great personality who would contribute to the world. And thirdly, personally contributing through one's own actions, great welfare to the world. So sometimes, for example, when we see Hiranyakashipu, he was the son of Kashyapa Rishi, a great Rishi, Prajapati, and he was the father of Prahlad Maharaj. But what was his personal character? He was one of the greatest demons. Although he may be glorious from the point of being born in a great family and from the point of giving birth to a great Mahabhagavata, in his personal character, he was a great demon. Anga Maharaj, he was born in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj, and personally, he was a great devotee, a great devotee of the Lord. But then, from the point of view of a legacy, he gave birth to Vena, who was a very great demon. But when we talk about Vyasadev is the great grandson of Vasishta, grandson of Shakti, the son of Parashara Muni. So from the point of view of the lineage, he comes in a very great family lineage, and also the father of Shukadeva Goswami. He gave birth to the first speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And personally, his contribution to the world is he compiled the Vedas, wrote the Puranas, Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutra. So Vyasadeva is glorious in all respects. Skanda Puran describes Vyasa Chitta Stitakashat Avachinnani Kanichit Anye Vyavaharantyetan Uri Kritya Grihadiva. So Vyasadeva's mind is like the sky, Akasha. Other people make use of the small collections of ideas they have carved out from the infinite sky of the Vyasadeva's mind. And other people take advantage of these borrowed ideas like people who pick up things discarded from somebody else's house. So, just like the sky, Vyasadeva's mind is compared to the sky, just like the sky is unlimited, Vyasadeva's mind contains unlimited knowledge. And just like the sky is the medium for the sound, Vyasadeva's mind is a medium for the transcendental sound, which is the basis of all kinds of knowledge. Therefore, all the thinkers on this planet and on the higher planets, they simply make use of the knowledge which Veda Vyasa has given. That there is a saying that Vyaso Chishtam Jagat Sarvam. The entire world is nothing but the remnants of Veda Vyasa. The whole world tastes the remnants of Veda Vyasa. That means there is nothing under the sun that Vyasadeva has not touched upon in his writings. So whatever anybody speaks or writes is something already uttered or written by Veda Vyasa. So that is the great contribution of Veda Vyasa. So it's called as Veda Vyasa. Veda Vyasa, one who divided the Vedas. So what is the meaning of the word Veda? So the word Veda comes from the root dhatu, root verb called as vid. This vid dhatu has got four meanings. The first meaning is that with sattayam. Sattayam means existence. So the ultimate concept of existence is that that which exists in the past, present and in the future. So Vedas are the ultimate concept of existence. Vedas, because Vedas exist in the past, present and the future, that means Vedas are eternal. Vedas are eternal. Krishna also says that Vedaischa sarveir aham eva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. Krishna says that I am the Vedanta krit and I am the Veda with. I am the Vedanta krit. In the form of Veda Vyasa, I have written the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, he says, I am the Vedanta krit. And then he says, Veda with, I am the knower of the Vedas. He is not mentioning that I am the Veda krit. Because Vedas are not written even by, Vedas are not created even by Krishna. Vedas are co-eternal along with Krishna. So because Vedas are emanated from the breath of Krishna, because Krishna is eternal, and the breath of Krishna is also eternal, so therefore Vedas are also eternal. So Vedas are co-eternal with Krishna, at the same time, just like the breath of a person is subordinate to the person, the Vedas are subordinate to the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is mentioning that I am the Veda with. He is not saying I am Veda Krit. But he is saying I am Vedanta Krit because he wrote the Vedanta Sutra in the form of Veda Vyasa. So the second meaning of Vid is that Vid Jnane. Jnane means knowledge, knowing. So Vedas, second meaning of the word Veda comes from the Dhatu Vid Jnane. So Vedas provide knowledge, especially that knowledge which cannot be perceived through the Pratyaksha Pramana and Anumana Pramana. Pratyakshena Anumityava Yastupayona Budyate Yenam Vidanti Vedena Tasmat Vedasya Vedata. That which is incomprehensible through Pratyaksha Anumana is understood only by the Vedas. Therefore, the Vedas are called Vedas. The third meaning of the Vid Dhatu is that Vid Vicharane. Vicharane means to analyze. So Vedas analyze both the material existence and the spiritual existence. It analyzes about the nature of the material world, nature of the elements in the material world. Vedas also analyze the nature of the Supreme Reality, the Supreme Brahman. Both the laukika and the alaukika aspects are analyzed in the Vedas. Therefore, it is called as the Vedas. And the fourth meaning of the word Veda comes from the root word with labe. Labe means to gain. What can we gain from the Vedas? Vedas provide the means to get the ihasukha and the parasukha. How to live happily and with prosperity in this world, and also Vedas provide the means how to attain a higher destination in the next life. So Vedas provide a very holistic program. Vedas give a program for living a long life, healthy life, happy life, and a spiritual life, and a peaceful life. It provides a program for a long and healthy life through scriptures like Ayurveda. Vedas provide the means to live a peaceful life through scriptures like Gandharva Veda, about music and related to music, arts, art forms, etc. Vedas provide a program for living a dharmic life through different scriptures, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Vedas provide how to live a spiritual life through Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Veda Vyasa divided the Vedas. In the Narayana Kavacha also, about Veda Vyasa, it is mentioned that ద్వైపాయనో భగవాన్ అప్రబోధాత్. మే ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ హిస్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్ ఆస్ వ్యాసదేవ ప్రొటెక్ట్ మీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ రిజల్టింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదిక్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో వేదాస్ scriptures written by Vedavyasa, they protect a person from ignorance. And there are five kinds of ignorance mentioned in the Mahabharata Udyoga Parva. One is accepting the body to be the self. Second, making material sense gratification as one's a standard of enjoyment. Third, becoming anxious because of various material identification. And fourthly, lamenting because of such identification. And fifthly, thinking that there is something which is beyond the absolute truth. So these are the five types of ignorance. So Vyasadeva's writings removes all these five types of ignorance. So sometimes certain scholars, they say that when we they criticize Vyasadeva by talking about the birth of Vyasadeva, because Parashara Muni's union with Satyavati took place even before the it was from an external point of view, it is something like it is against the principles of dharma. Satyavati, even before marriage, Parashara Muni had the relation with Satyavati. Later, Satyavati was married to Dushyanta. So, external point of view, it appears like an illicit relation. Vyasadeva was born from an illicit relation. But, if we see, there are different things in this world. The source of some those things may appear to be externally contaminating. But still, those things are very glorious. For example, conch shell is the bone of a fish. But conch shell is used in the worship of the Lord. Musk is coming from the back portion of the deer. After the deer dies, we take the skin of the musk deer, and then from that the musk is actually produced. It is from the dead body. It's something inauspicious. But the musk is directly utilized in the worship of the Lord. Lotus is born in a muddy place. The source is impure, but the lotus is one of the beautiful creation. We compare the limbs of the Lord with the lotus flower. So similarly, from an external carnal perspective, Vyasadeva's appearance may be unconventional. But from the contribution of Vyasadeva, the contribution of Vyasadeva is actually impacting. It has created a great impact for people for all time to come in the future. And Vyasadeva himself writes about the story of his birth in the Mahabharata. So we can see the honesty of Vyasadeva. Although the story of his birth is somewhat unconventional, controversial, but Vyasadeva himself writes about a story. So, in Skanda Puran further, Vishnu Puran also tells about Vyasadeva, how Vyasadeva will appear in the 28th Manu, and he will actually divide the Veda into four divisions. And in fact, Vishnu Puran says that in each Chaturyuga, there is a different Vyasadeva, and who organizes the branches of the Vedas. But know that Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is directly the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. The other Vyasadevs, the other yuga cycles, they are many times they are Satyavesha avatars. They are living entities empowered with the task of dividing the Vedas. So when we see Narada Muni and Vyasadeva's contribution. So Narada Muni goes and meets people. He meets person to person, and then he actually inspires different people in the science of devotional service. Vyasadeva we don't see Vyasadeva meeting people person to person. Because Mahabharata, he meets different people. But Vyasadeva's contribution, he just stayed inside one cave within the Himalayas. And then he wrote the books there. So, by writing the books, Vyasadeva impacted people for all time to come in the future. So, Narada Muni created impact by meeting person to person. Like, for example, during the COVID period. So, there are frontline workers, different doctors. They were dealing with the people person to person, patient to patient. In that way, they were serving the society. But then there are different, some scientists, probably they were just confined to the laboratory for 6 months or 7 months or 8 months doing research on the vaccines. Probably they didn't come out of the laboratory or just taking care of the basic needs. They were only confined to the laboratory. They also, by discovering, inventing the vaccines, they also created an impact, but they created impact a much larger scale for all people, all society. But the other doctors, they were contributing in their role, dealing with the patient to patient. So Narada Muni's contribution was like that. Vyasadeva, being confining himself to the one cave, by writing all the literatures, he actually benefited the all the future people. So, among the contributions of Vyasadeva, the highest contribution is Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada also highlights that. Herein, Brahma mentions the future compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam for the short-lived persons of the Kali Age. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Amrita Drava Samyutam. It is the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge. So, the other works of Vyasadeva, we can say that Vedanta Sutra is the work of Vyasadeva before the ripened state. Mahabharata may be the before the ripened state. Other works may be other Vedas or other Puranas are like that. Maybe we can say the different stages in the growth of the development of a tree. A branch or a flower and then the fruit and then the ripened fruit. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit. So, for example, we eat ripened mangoes. But that doesn't mean that unripened mango has no utility. There are many pickles made of unripened mangoes also. So, just because ripened mango, yeah, everyone loves, but unripened mangoes also have utilities. So similarly, yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge. At the same time, the other literatures left by Vyasadeva, they also have utility. Whether it is Vedanta Sutra or Mahabharata or different Puranas. So Prabhupada highlights that also in the purport. So Samyang Nyaya Kalapena Mahata Bharatena Cha Upabrumhita Vedaya Namo Vyasaya Vishnave. So Veda Vyasa's contribution, we can say one of the he contributed in the form of dividing the Vedas. That is one contribution. He wrote the Upanishads, Aranyakas, Brahmana, Samhita. And then he wrote the Puranas, the 18 Puranas. And then he wrote the Mahabharata, which contains Bhagavad Gita, and he wrote the Vedanta Sutra. He wrote the Vedanta Sutra for the scholars, and he wrote the Mahabharata for the less intelligent people. In that way, Vyasadeva's contribution is for all people, not only for the scholars, or not only for the less intelligent people, it for all kinds of people. And Vyasadeva's role in the Mahabharata. We see Vyasadeva's role. So Vyasadeva plays, he was exhibited the quality of being a Udasina. Udasina, sometimes it is translated in English as neutral. but neutral does not exactly capture the meaning of the word udasina. So a neutral person is more focused on not taking any sides. But udasina is a person who is an active participant in a particular event, but at the same time, he has no agenda. And he gives a viewpoint from a higher perspective. While being a, generally when a person is an active participant in a particular event and in a particular affair, this one, he may tend to take sides. But Vyasadeva, although he was an active participant in the Mahabharata, at the same time he gave a higher vision from a detached perspective for everyone's benefit in the Mahabharata. So, for example, in the Mahabharata, Vyasadeva plays the role of an indicator from time to time. At the time of Duryodhana's birth, he gave an indication that this son should be rejected. Otherwise, he would actually be the cause of the destruction of the entire dynasty. He gave an indication. And when Vyasadeva was called by Satyavati to procreate through Ambika and Ambalika, Vyasadeva gave an indication, tell them to wait for some time so that they develop the right mindset to accept my virya. Do not actually be hasty, tell them to wait for some time. So in that way he gave a subtle indication, if you don't wait, then the consequences, you will actually face some undesirable consequences. And that's what happened. Dhritarashtra was born blind and Pandu Maharaj was born with a disease. So Vyasadeva plays the role of an indicator in the Mahabharata, and Vyasadeva indicates in the Mahabharata that one must practice dharma. And by practicing, when a person practices dharma, and dharma will definitely protect the person. And Vyasadeva in the Mahabharata, he also plays the role of a critic. He plays the role of a critic in the sense that he does not hesitate to highlight even the faults of some great personalities like Bhishma Dev or Yudhishthira Maharaj or Arjuna. Arjuna exhibited the Karuna Dosha. Yudhishthira Maharaj was sometimes, he was an idealist. Bhishma Dev, for his personal vow, he took the side of the Kauravas. He supported the adharmic people. So Vyasadeva does not hesitate to highlight even the shortcomings of great personalities. At the same, it doesn't mean that, at the same time, he also highlighted the good qualities also. So sometimes the critics of this world, they may disproportionately highlight a mistake, and they may not highlight a great contribution of a person to the extent it deserves. But Vyasadeva, being an appropriate critic, he actually even talks about the faults of the great personalities so that we can learn from the mistakes of the great personalities. At the same time, without actually diminishing their greatness. He does not unnecessarily slander somebody, and he does not unnecessarily flatter somebody. So this quality of a critic we can learn from Vyasadeva from the Mahabharata. So in this world we see there are different editors of the magazines, newspapers, and they may edit the different articles. But completely oblivious to the fact that their own mindset needs an editing. So when an editor edits others' articles without allowing one's own mindset to be edited, then at the most he can only edit the articles on a language basis. When allowing one's own mindset to be edited means one's mind should be aligned with dharma, one's mindset should be aligned with the shastra. So when one's own mindset is not aligned with the shastra, with that unedited mindset, whatever article he edits in the newspaper or magazines, all those articles will be unedited articles only, actually. So Vyasadeva, and for a person who is playing the role of an editor, it is very difficult to submit one's own mindset to be edited by somebody else. Because he is in the he is so busy editing others' works, he may not realize that his own mindset needs to be edited. But Vyasadeva is the compiler of all the Vedic literatures, wrote Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata. Can there be anybody who can be greater than Vyasadeva, a greater author than Vyasadeva? But that Vyasadeva submitted his mind unto Narada Muni so that Narada Muni can edit his mindset. Astyeva me sarvam idam tvayoktam tatapi natma paritushyate me tanmulam avyaktam agada bodham prichyamahe tvatma bhavatma bhutam. Telling that you are the man of unlimited knowledge. Although Narada Muni wrote only 2 books, but Vyasadeva wrote so many books, but he is calling Narada as you are a person of unlimited knowledge. Please tell me the root cause of my dissatisfaction. That is the glory of Vyasadeva's humility. And I'll also highlight another aspect. So when Narada Muni gives instruction to Vyasadeva, in one of the verses Narada says that tatonyata kinchit yat kinchana yad vivakshata prutak drishas tat krita rupa nama bihi na karhichit kvapicha dustita matir labeta vata hatanaur ivaspadam. Whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. So Narada is saying that like whatever you have written so far, it has a different vision. The vision is separate from the Supreme Lord. So therefore, whatever literatures you have written, it will only simply agitate the mind. It will simply agitate the mind, just like the boat, when it is agitated, has no resting place. The mind which is agitated by so many different sadhyas and sadhanas mentioned by you in different literatures, that will not reach the proper destination. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, therefore, Srila Vyasadeva should not have compiled any Puranas other than the Bhagavata Purana, because a slight deviation from that may create havoc for self-realization. If a slight deviation can create such havoc, then what to speak of a deliberate expansion of the idea separate from the absolute truth, personality of God. So Prabhupada is saying that Vyasadeva should not have compiled any Puranas other than the Bhagavata Purana. It is a very tall statement actually. But the same Srila Prabhupada, he writes elsewhere, in his letter to Satyabhama, he says that, you will have ample opportunity to educate children and write books for them, because there is sufficient matter for publishing such books from the Puranas, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam and many other allied literatures. Letter to Janardana. Because a less intelligent class of men like women, mercantile people and laborers want to hear stories. For them the Vedic idea or concept was explained in 18 Puranas and the Mahabharata. If I get good assistance, I can overflood your country with stories so nice and instructive. Letter to Kritika. I cannot utilize this, the fag end of my life, to give you So many nice literatures like the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata. Letter to Niranjan. If they do not believe in Ramayana and Mahabharata, then we shall reply point to point by argument and reason. Like that, other letters are there. So when we see that Prabhupada's purport in the first canto, Prabhupada says that Vyasadeva should not have written any literature other than Bhagavata Purana. And the same Prabhupada in so many other letters are saying that I want to give so many, all these Puranas, all the other allied Vedic literatures. So how do we reconcile? Because it is important to reconcile the statements of Prabhupada. Oftentimes you will find people going to one extreme. But how do we reconcile these statements? So when we see the very nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranaanam Samavedaha. Bhagavatam is considered the Samaveda among the Puranas. Just like Samaveda reconciles the apparent contradictions in the different paths mentioned in the Vedas. Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda. So Bhagavatam similarly reconciles. Therefore it is called the Samaveda among the Puranas. In the Puranas also different sadhyas and sadhanas are mentioned. Bhagavatam plays the role of a harmonizing. And the quality of Krishna, Krishna is somebody who harmonizes all the contradictions. Yasmin viruddha gatayo khyanisham patanti vidyadayo vivida shaktaya anupurvyat. Dhruva Maharaj says that Krishna is the possessor of mutually contradictory shaktis, vidya potency and avidya potency. So Krishna is a personality who can reconcile the apparent contradictions. And a devotee of Krishna also has this quality. Krishna mentions in the Uddhava Gita, one of the quality of devotee is Kavi. Kavi means one who can harmonize the contradictions, one who can harmonize the contradictory qualities in the Lord. Through the expert knowledge of the absolute nature of the Lord. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur named his magazine as The Harmonist. So therefore, a student of the Bhagavatam or the teacher of the Bhagavatam should have the quality to harmonize the apparent contradictions. So Prabhupada in one place he says that Vyasadeva should not have written any literature apart from Bhagavatam. But at the same time he says, I am eager to translate all these literatures. So how do we harmonize the contradictions? So, a simple example, suppose a postman comes to your house and then delivers a post. And then the postman, he also starts saying to you that, so I want to give you the menu for your kitchen for the next 1 week. What you should be cooking in the lunch and dinner. What vegetables, how much to cook. And then the postman starts actually giving the menu for the kitchen. Or a plumber or an electrician who comes to work in the kitchen, suppose he starts giving the kitchen menu. Will the wife or the mother, who is the boss of the kitchen, will they accept the kitchen menu to be dictated by the postman? So they will not allow the postman to dictate the kitchen menu. But does that mean that we are rejecting the postman altogether? No. We are rejecting the postman in the role of giving the kitchen menu, but not in the role of delivering the cookbook in the form of giving a post. We are not rejecting the plumber in the role of doing some plumbing work in the kitchen. But we reject the plumbers or the electrician in the role of giving the kitchen menu. So similarly, when we talk about the sadhya and the sadhana, what is the highest goal and what is the means to attain that highest goal. For that, Srimad Bhagavatam is the pramana. Just like for the kitchen menu, the boss is the mother or the wife in the kitchen. But similarly, for the sadhya and sadhana, the highest pramana is the Srimad Bhagavatam. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that the other literatures, we don't accept the literatures in the role of giving the sadhya and sadhana, but they have their utility in our life actually. When we talk about Varnashram Dharma, which is the way of living in this world, what can be the better book than the, can there be any better book than Ramayana and Mahabharata in teaching Varnashram Dharma? So Prabhupada said that he said that first teach them how to live in this world. They will not be able to understand our high philosophy. They require a cool mind. First teach them how to live in this world. If they don't even know what is dharma, and if you only talk about transcending dharma, sarva dharma and parityajya, many people don't even know what is dharma, what is the meaning of the word dharma, and you only talk about sarva dharma and parityajya. So Prabhupada said that teach them also how to live, therefore we should have Varnashram colleges associated with every one of our temple. So can there be any better book than the Mahabharata and Ramayana to teach the principles of dharma? So in that role we can accept that. But for sadhya and sadhana, we don't accept these books. But sadhya and sadhana, we accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhya is the Krishna prema and the sadhana is the process of Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So just like we accept for the kitchen menu, the wife or the mother is the main decider. But at the same time, the plumbers and electricians and the postmen, they have the role. In that role, we accept them. And this was also highlighted in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Vedic tradition, there are six philosophies. Nyaya philosophy, Vaisheshika, Mimamsa philosophy, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So when we, in the personified Vedas prayers, it's mentioned that some of the conclusions of Sankhya, Nyaya, Mimamsa, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, they are refuted by Veda Vyasa in the Vedanta Sutra. Some of the conclusions are refuted. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Mimamsa and Vedanta, among these philosophies, only the Vedanta of Veda Vyasa is free of error. And even that only as explained by the bona fide Vaishnava Acharyas. But each of the six schools, although Nyaya philosophy, for example, according to Nyaya Shastra, Atma is all pervading. But according to Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra, Atma has anuparimana. Atma is atomic in nature. But according to Nyaya philosophy, Atma is all pervading. Like that, certain conclusions are contradicting with the Vedanta. But at the same time, each of the six schools make some practical contribution to Vedic education. The Sankhya explains the evolution of natural elements from subtle to grass. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra describes the Ashtanga Yoga. Nyaya sets forth the techniques of logic. Vaisheshika considers the basic metaphysical categories of reality. And Mimamsa establishes is a Vakya Shastra, how to understand the meaning of a Vakya. Like that, they play a different role. So therefore, when we talk about Vyasadeva's contribution, Vyasadeva contributed the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate work of Veda Vyasa. When Prabhupada is saying that Vyasadeva should not have written the other literatures apart from Bhagavata Purana, he is talking from the point of view of the sadhya and the sadhana. So because other Puranas, other literatures highlight different sadhya and sadhana, so one can get confused, one can get directed to other sadhya and sadhana. So Srimad Bhagavatam highlights the highest sadhya and sadhana. From that point he is saying. But at the same time, Prabhupada is talking about how I am eager to compile and write other literatures. He is seeing from the point of view of the different aspects of life, whether Varnashram Dharma or whether with respect to understanding the techniques of logic or understanding the science of Uchcharana and Jyotisha Shastra. For that, every other, so many literatures are there. And ultimately, one can read those literatures by following the principle of Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. One should not change the, there is one, I'll conclude this point. There's one philosopher, he actually gave a different interpretation to the Manmanabhava Madbhakto. He said, Manmanabhava Madbhakto, it means that you have to surrender to the unborn within Krishna. So, he did not change the verse of the Gita, but he gave an interpretation which is equivalent to changing the verse of the Gita. So similarly, sometimes one may say that a devotee should not read Mahabharata, because acharyas have not written commentary. But it is equivalent to actually changing the words of the Rupa Goswami from changing from Jnana Karmadi Anavritam to Jnana Karmadi Shunyam. Because you are giving an interpretation which is equivalent to changing the definition of Rupa Goswami, which is not actually the sign of a real loyal person who is loyal to the Rupa Goswami. So, many times common people fail to notice this subtle deviations when they say that one should not read other literatures. That means you are changing the definition of Shuddha Bhakti from Jnana Karmadi Anavritam to Jnana Karmadi Shunyam, which is not the sign of a person who is loyal to Rupa Goswami. So, therefore, every work given by Vyasadeva has a utility, and the Srimad Bhagavatam's utility, Srimad Bhagavatam is the work focused on the sadhya and the sadhana. So in this way, I would like to conclude here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Thank you.